Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake on up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
I had my naps timed out, bro.
There's morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
On the ground towards the hole. Lopez gets one there, and that's the ball game. So 6-4-3 ends the ball game, and on this Tuesday night, the Marlins take game one of this three-game series, and they do it with 11 hits, and the Giants' last hit came in the fifth inning, so the offense, after the home run by Christian Kos, kind of went away.
They're not very good.
No, they were not yesterday. Wayne Kuiper on the call, NBC Sports Bay Area, 4-2 the final. Miami takes the first of three in San Francisco. Justin Verlander still searching for that first win in the Giants uniform. He goes five innings. As I say, good morning to you, Joe Shasky, Carter, Sam, all you lovely people just waking up, whether you're listening on the Odyssey app, radio dial, on YouTube. We're on all those platforms. A tough one, though, Joe, yesterday. I mean, is Justin Verlander going to win this year? What's going on?
You know, when they brought him in, I was super excited because I was like, all right, a random Tuesday night against the Marlins. Literally was what I said the day he was signed on a video. And I'm like, you're going to lean forward because it's Justin Verlander.
Did you really say that team in that day? That's hilarious.
Yeah, a random Tuesday night against the Marlins.
Now like, City Connects.
If you got someone like Tristan Beck, and it was his birthday yesterday, Tristan Beck, but if like it's someone like that or, you know, a couple years ago they had the bucket, John Brebbia, starting the game, you're kind of like, eh. But if it's Justin Verlander, you're going to lean forward. Mm. It's been nowhere near what I expected it to be. I expected it to be better than this. And, you know, I'm listening to Flem, who hops in the booth for a couple of innings with Kruko, like the sixth, seventh innings. And he's like, you know, he got through five, and it wasn't a great start. He doesn't have command of the slider right now, and it feels like there was one singular at-bat that you could just feel was, you know, becoming a bigger at-bat than it needed to be in the game. And this guy just continues to fall behind in games early on, and the offense scuffles and can't basically get him back into it. Now, you look, you're like five innings, three runs, not the end of the world. But it's just time and time again he's giving up multiple runs early in games. And you see the Marlins yesterday get the big knocks with runners in scoring position that the Giants just fail to get.
And then when the Giants try to get back into the game, think they can tie it potentially, they send a guy that's not known for speed in Rafael Devers, who is dealing with a groin injury and is out by like 2 miles. Like, he had no shot at that, Joe, as Ramos doubled it down the line. He thought, okay, maybe hold him there, you know, getting up. Maybe we get an RBI here, tie it. Like, that halted any momentum that you were garnering up there. You were still down a run, obviously. You were feeling good. And then, you just couldn't score another one. And then Miami adds one more, 4-2 the final. Just the offense sputtering. And we knew that when Devers was signing. He's not going to be the cure-all. That's not just going to happen. One player is not going to cure the ailments of an entire lineup. We know that. Mike Trout on line one with the Los Angeles Angels. Like, that's just not going to happen. But that being said, when you're trying to continue the momentum, I just keep going back to that play. This has happened a couple times now this year, Joe. Matt Williams sending guys.
Three times in a week and a half.
Or not sending them. It's just damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know what he saw. Well, no, seriously, why send him yesterday?
I don't get it. I mean, Devers has got a groin injury. So, number one, he's not fast to begin with. Number two. And number three, you got Wilmer Flores, who has more two-strike hits than pretty much anybody in baseball.
You got Mr. Clutch coming up.
Top 10 guy in the RBIs. Look, I understand, like, well, what are the chances that he comes up and gets a hit right there, and you want to push it, make a play? He was thrown out by 1,000 feet. And then I get a text from, I'm just going to throw him right under the bus. I get a text from Bonte, and he's like, oh, well, his nickname in San Diego was Matt the Windmill Williams. I'm like, I've never heard that, Bonte. Where did you get that? I've never heard him referred to that.
The streets were talking.
I want to know where he got that
I'm
from.
Looking that up right now to see if that's a real thing. Matt Windmill Williams, Major League Baseball. No one's called him that.
You know, when you're coming around third, you give him the old.
I would rather be the White Sox.
You give him the old. You know, we'll do. By the way, also the City Connects retire this whole thing about the City Connects. Our record in the City Connects. Shut up, you 6'2" transplants. I don't want to hear from you ever again. Those jerseys should have a 6'2" patch on them. Meaning, I just got here and we're all out of 415 numbers. So let me get a 6'2" number.
Stop!
I don't want to hear about those ever again. And also, Bonte's record on pre and post is awful.
Oh my God!
So let's
just
retire
crushing.
Them both.
Are we just crushing Bonte in the first couple minutes here?
I'm teasing.
Who joins us?
Well, yeah, it's the morning roast. So, you know.
He joins us a Friday, by the way, 9 o'clock hour in studio.
Can't wait to see
each
him.
And every Friday. Absolutely.
Well, it's before a big game against the White Sox, too.
No way.
I would rather be the White Sox.
He might be wearing a Bo Jackson jersey on Friday. Who knows? We'll see.
Bo's best years with the Royals.
I know, but he looks so sick in the Chicago White Sox. Did he not?
I mean, when I think of 1990 Chicago White Sox, it's Frank Thomas.
Okay, big hurt. Like, well, I think Nugenics when I think Frank Thomas, but continue.
No doubt. You know, no doubt. Yesterday's just one of those days where it was a bad day overall. You get news that Bryce Eldridge could be out about a month with a strained hamstring.
That sucked.
That's not good, right? And then you also hear about Matt Chapman probably still a couple weeks away. That's not good.
He swung a bat yesterday.
Oh, great. So did LJ. Doesn't mean he's ready for the bigs.
Relax.
You know, it's not a great time right now. You got to be beating teams like the Marlins. And it just felt like they got all these little hits yesterday that we failed to get. And look, Christian Koss got the big swing. You got the big home run from him.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text. And we would love your participation today. We got a great show for you. We're going to be talking a lot of baseball. We do have the NBA draft tonight,
by the way.
We're
going to break down the White Sox?
We're not breaking down the White Sox or the Marlins.
We're on
the
Friday show.
I'm not bringing down who is going to be the mock draft for the Mel Kiper version of the NBA. I'm not doing that. I literally looked at like a CBS Sports one. Who's my guy? Who did this? Kyle Boone. Shout out Kyle Boone. I'm just looking at it right now. Just to get familiar with some names. Uh-huh. Because Cooper Flagg, I'm sure that's what people know. That's it. He's the guy from Duke. He's going to go number one overall.
There's like two guys from Rutgers.
Mavericks. Exactly. You don't even know their names. Two guys from Rutgers. There you go. It might as well be a podcast.
Them boys from Rutgers.
There you
go.
Is it Tony Soprano and Jackie April Jr.? Like, come on. Pick number 41. My guy Boone has Yang Hansen to the Golden State Warriors. A 7-footer from China. There you go. You want that guy? 7'1", center. You've been looking for him.
There's a tariff joke in there somewhere.
Stop, relax.
I don't know where, but that would be pretty funny.
But, hey, there you go. Just get a big guy. Is that all you're saying for the 41st pick? Just someone large?
Okay, so they're going to draft a guy. I want to make sure.
This is the mock draft.
Are going to draft a guy that they're not going to play because Kevon Looney's still on the team?
Well, who knows? This guy's 19. I'm looking at him right now.
What are we doing?
From the Qingdao Eagles of the Chinese Basketball Association. He's only 19, Joe.
You don't have the Chinese League Pass?
I don't have that. Bonte might. Bonte might. We'll ask him about it on Friday. 888-957-9570. We're going to do, though. We would love your participation today. We're going to be doing something draft-related when it comes to Bay Area sports.
This is fun.
This is going to be very fun. And it's not going to be basketball inclusive. It's going to be baseball. It's going to be football. It's going to be maybe coaches. It's going to be ownership. It's going to be player involved. So can't wait to do that. We'll reveal more details as the show goes on. But we got a Hall of Famer joining us today, Joe, at 6:50. Pretty soon here, in the next 35 minutes or so. Jim Leland, who knows a thing or two about managing against the San Francisco Giants, has managed some of the greatest players in the history of the sport. He is synonymous with smoking heaters in the dugout as well. Losing in horrific fashion, but also winning.
No doubt.
In glorious fashion.
He did win.
The first ever expansion team championship World Series title in Miami. And in the process, well, they were then Florida, beat the Giants, as you well know.
Well, and lost to the Giants as a Tiger manager.
He did.
Lost to the Braves year after year after
yep,
year.
He absolutely
with the Pirates.
Did.
I love Jim Leland. Jim Leland, to me, smoking heaters in the dugout is... like, it's synonymous with the 80s and 90s.
No, when I think of a baseball manager, yeah, he literally comes to mind. Like, that is the guy that lives, breathes
yeah,
managing baseball games.
And he's a short king, you know? I mean, he's the kind of guy that'll go after somebody.
Is he really that short?
I just imagine him as a tiny old man.
I don't think he's that short. I think he's, like, kind of tall.
Is
I just
he?
Think he's kind of skinny.
Then
yeah,
I stand down. I in my head, he was, like, 5'8".
No, no. We'll get the exact height. Well, hell, we'll ask him at 6'50". By the way, I always think of, when I think of Jim Leland, too, him just ripping into Barry Bonds. Like, that's just that's the all-timer, right? When he was managing Pittsburgh way back when. You remember it back then when he was the Pittsburgh manager. I don't think I was alive then, but you do.
Oh, Bonds has been one of my favorite players of all time.
5'11".
Even when he was a Pirate.
He's 5'11", Joe. He's our height. So he's chilling.
Well, that means now, because he's, what, 80? That
means
he might have shrunk a little.
Just a little bit. Don't tell him that. I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't open with that. Hey, Jim, have you shrunk a little bit? Yeah,
in my mind, he was way shorter.
I don't know, well, because he's managing guys that are huge.
Yeah, that's probably
like Justin Verlander is what, 6'4", 6'5"? And by the way, we're talking about Justin Verlander this morning. Like, he managed Justin Verlander during his peak. And I do wonder, and we'll ask Jim about that, like, what has these guys, like, keep going? Guys like him, guys like Barry, Miggy, like, some of the greatest players of all time, kind of like, what keeps pushing them to play into their early 40s when their careers are already accomplished?
Because they love it.
Is he loving it this year, though? Like, Justin Verlander, from his post-game comments, I know Sam's talked about it, it's been a grind for a man. And searching for that first victory, it takes a toll.
Joe, the average athlete is a competitionaholic on a level that most normal people can't understand. All right, and they're addicted to the work and the craft and everything like that. And they love whatever they're doing more than most people love anything else in their life. It just is what it is. Now imagine what it takes to be Justin Verlander and to come back from the serious arm injury that he had just a couple of years ago. So I understand, like, ready to, you know, throw dirt on this man's career.
No, I do think
that...
I'm not throwing dirt on his career. He's one of if not the greatest pitcher of his generation. It's him,
no, but I think there's a legitimate conversation about, like, how many more starts does this guy get?
Well,
you know,
I am curious there, too, because it's not like, you look at the numbers in the totality of the season, it's not, like, god-awful in comparison to the rest of the league. Like, I'm looking at guys that signed prove-it deals that are much younger than him, that are kind of, like, coming off major injuries. Like, Walker Buehler has been awful for the Red Sox. What does he have? Like a 6.5 ERA.
Another guy coming off of a major injury.
I know, but we also just saw him in the World Series, right? He looked pretty good at times. Justin Verlander right now this season, 4.52 ERA. Not like the worst if you're like my fourth and fifth starter. Like, I would take that. And right at this point, that's kind of how I'm viewing him, Joe. If he's my fourth or fifth starter and he's giving me this kind of production, like, he's keeping me in baseball games more often than not. Three earned runs. Now, the problem is, like, you want him to go at least six, right? In today's baseball, you want your starters to try to get you at least six innings. He's been going 5, 4 2/3, 4 in his last three starts. Obviously, that third start going way back all the way to May because he's only his second start since being off a month. But I don't think he's been as awful as we've been discussing on this show this year. He hasn't been, like, the worst pitcher in baseball.
No, but guys are hitting like .265 against him right now.
Sure.
Right?
I think he's battling. I don't think he's like, he is enough of a crafty veteran to where he's not going to get shelled a lot. I'm not seeing a guy like, who is my guy over in Washington where he just knew he was, you know, Patrick Corbin?
Okay.
He's not Patrick Corbin.
He's not Patrick Corbin. We're in a pennant race. I don't know if you're aware of this. And you have a guy in Carson Wisenhunt down in the minors who, although not, you know, knocking everybody's doors off every single start is promising. So, you know, do you go to a six-man rotation? Do you give them two or three more of these starts and kind of just let them figure it out? Like, they fall behind, it feels like, early in games with Verlander starting every single time. I bet that he has given up a run in the first two innings in all of the last six or seven starts.
Sure, but he's only given up more than three runs twice this season. He's literally held them, his opposition, to three runs or fewer in most of his starts. Like that. Like,
okay, when you zoom out,
can you score more than three runs? Is what I'm saying.
I agree.
Pick this guy up, get him a win.
look, when you zoom out, I agree. It's I'm not saying he's the worst. I'm just saying there's something to be said. Like every time you go out there, we look up in the dugout and we're down 1-2 before the game even starts.
I understand.
You know, like, can you get me into the fourth or fifth inning without giving up a run?
Can you just score me some more runs? Part of baseball.
No, it's both. It's both of them.
Okay, but also, like, this offense has just been anemic and it has not been good enough. When I'm like Willie Adames yesterday in the ninth inning, good God, swing the bat. Swing the bat. Don't take these pitches, dude.
I thought it was a strike. I don't know what his gripe was.
Okay. Exactly.
I don't know what his gripe was. I mean, it's a full count. Expand the attack zone. You got to protect. I don't know what he's doing.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Nope. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a lowrate auto loan apply online. Or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Sorry, didn't mean it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, it's just here's the thing on Willie, right? Like I'm very critical on the defense. I actually think that he's figured out the infield, whether it's the hops, the bounces, you know, every infield is gonna be a little different, right? The grass is a little different, the surface and how hard it is, how quickly the ball jumps on you, the spin that it comes off, like whatever surface you're playing on, you gotta get accustomed to it. All right? And people are like, oh, they're all the same. No, they're not. They're not all the same. They're different grass types, there's different dirts. Like yesterday was a very wet and cold day just in the city as a whole. That ground, the ground balls that come off that ground are going to be different than a dry, hot surface like in Arizona, for example.
Same with like putting greens and golf.
Exactly. And so I just think he's actually made a really good adjustment to reading hops as a shortstop. Now, that is a really nuanced thing to come on here and talk about. Like you sign the guy because he can hit a little, right? At shortstop. But defensively, this last, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks, I've been much more impressed with his defense than I was, let's say, the first 8-9 weeks. So that's a positive, okay? Mm-hmm. Christian Koss is going to get some playing time at second base. That one swing felt like, wow, okay, he can maybe build on something there. But you need to string together 3 and 4 hits, and it just feels like right now this team can't do it. Ramos hits that ball into the corner of left field, and I don't know why you're sending a Devers who's not fast. I mean, he's decent speed for his size, but not fast.
No.
And you're sending him in that situation with Wilmer coming up. And your team has been very anemic offensively. I get you're trying to like get a jolt. Like I understand that. I've defended some of Matt Williams' sends this year. But when you get thrown out and you have to ease up coming into home because you're so gunned by so many, that's indefensible.
We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. And by the way, you just look at the NL wildcard race right now. It is tight. Woke up to a text from our big boss man, Matt Nahegi, and he's just like, hey, you look at the standings right now, Giants might not have to make another move. I was like, another one? Can we live off the high of Rafi Devers being a San Francisco
Giant? He's not wrong.
For a week?
He's not wrong, though.
Well, this is where we're at right now. So the Mets, 46-34, number one wild card spot. The Giants are right there at number two. They're 44-35. They're 9 games over .500. And then you got the Brew Crew. Then you got the Cardinals, both tied at 44-36. Padres right there, half game back. Reds a couple games back. And then the D-backs, who obviously just lost Corbin Carroll. They're 2.5 games back. By the way, I do want to get into the Diamondbacks.
And they've won 2 gritty games in a row.
They have. Something took place yesterday, though, in the Diamondbacks and White Sox game that we're going to discuss at one point. Fan behavior. We've talked about it ad nauseum.
Did you hear yesterday's game on the television?
Yes, I did. And there was someone screaming
the whole time. And like I swear to God, there was a guy on the internet that the boss wanted to have on the show.
The internet.
He's TikTok.
Social media.
He's
so old when you say the internet.
The guy thinks
the World Wide Web.
I know I sound like an old
person. Continue.
Some heckler, okay? Some giant heckler who lives 7,000 miles away up in Granite Bay, and he comes to games. He's a total nerd, all right? Comes to games. He looks exactly what you would think. Straight hipster who looks like he can't throw a baseball, all right? And the guy has made this whole internet persona on heckling people. And I said to the boss, this was a couple weeks ago, I was like, this guy's a dork. Like, a good heckle here and there. All right. If your whole moniker is heckling throughout the game, now you're just annoying. Like, I was in the game on Friday night. If you were heckling from behind me the whole game for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, I'd be like, can you shut up? Can you just, like, give it a rest for a second? There was a guy on the camera yesterday that the television feed was picking up. He was heckling the whole game. Dog, we're down 4-2. Shut up. Right. Like, I just stop. I don't need to hear you heckling all game. Like, just because you bought a ticket doesn't mean you have the right to make it uncomfortable for everyone around you. And I just think that, like, there's a happy medium here. I'm not saying you can't boo, tell a funny joke, heckle a little. If you're heckling nonstop and saying cool things and saying, you know, swear words and stuff around a bunch of, like, come on. Like, what are you doing? I have a little common decency here. Just because they're professional athletes doesn't mean you can treat them, you know, inhumane.
And
have a little fun, but come on. I'm not trying to be the old man here.
No, we'll discuss what we're referring to when it comes to Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks and playing the Chicago White Sox and a White Sox fan yelling some personal stuff that, again, crosses the line and you should just not do at any walk of life. If you wouldn't do it in real life, like real life as I call it, like when these people, because they think that they go to games and it's all of a sudden not real life. It's just like, oh, I bought a ticket. It's fun. This is an event. It's like, it's all show. It's WWE, right? No, like, this, like that, you're saying real life stuff to real life people doing their real life jobs. And it's not cool. So we'll get into that at one point. By the way, I mentioned Jim Leland, 650. Larry Bear, president and CEO of the Giants, 8:30. And we're going to be doing our Bay Area Legends draft, Joe. Bay Area Legends draft in honor of the NBA draft, which takes place today. So that's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour as well. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? I actually have a nickname for that Giants guy, a Giants fan that does the heckling. Call him Wade Heckler.
One.
Just gonna let that breathe for a little bit.
Just call him a nerd. Just get a life. I mean, it's just like, that was shut up and get a life.
That was a 10. I mean, I'm patting myself on the back right there. Shout out Pat Spencer.
Am I wrong on this? Like, no. You're at the game. You're sitting down, you're relaxing.
Let's get into it on the other side.
You're sitting down, you're relaxing. And it's like a little couple jokes here and there. You laugh a little. If you're all game, just berate, and we're down 4-2. Shut up.
I wonder what's the worst thing that Jim Leland's heard while managing in the dugout. We'll ask him at 6:50. And that's what's coming up the game, brought to you by Valvoline. From the ballpark to wine country, summer's better when your car's ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. Honestly, he's been a baller for quite a long time. I love him in fantasy. He's a great player. He's a player that you'd love to have on your team. You know, he was moved to tears during the game, and not because, like, they were happy tears, but he was feeling emotional. Torey Lovullo, the Arizona Diamondbacks manager, expounded on it after the game, because you even heard it on the broadcast call right there. Like, they didn't know what was going on. Why was this guy getting so emotional? Let me know when we got that sound, boys. Torey Lovullo, the manager, give me the thumbs up whenever we got it. But again, we were referencing it, you know, last segment, the fan behavior at some of these things and games. And we see it all the time, mostly, like in the NFL. You know, you get the alcohol, you get the rowdiness. There's just levels to being a fan, and then the sports and how you act at them. Hell, like, I think for the most part in America, when I just take a step back and compare it to the rest of the world, because I don't know if you've ever watched English Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga. They literally have to split up the fans so there's not, like, riots and fights. They have to have security guards down the entire stairway between fan bases because it gets that awful,
Joe,
and violent.
I've watched, you know, whether it's Niner fans, Giants fans, Warrior fans. I'm just going to stay here. I've seen our own fans fight each other.
No, totally. I'm saying here in America, in comparison to the rest of the world, because I think we get a bad rap with a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I do think for the most part, we're a lot better than the rest of the world when it comes to that sort of fan behavior. But something like this, just can't happen. Here's the Arizona Diamondbacks manager, Torey Lovullo, speaking on what happened with the fan in Ketel Marte.
We have to go to Ketel Marte, and there was obviously a very emotional scene out there, and we know how close you are with him. What can you share with us?
It was a terrible moment. fans are nasty and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players, and I'm going to protect them.
Your protection starts way before today, though. You guys go so far. It's up. We were talking on the air. Right. I know you're a father figure to him, are you not?
Right, yeah. You know, I've known Cattell for 9 years, and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well and some really, really tough moments in his life, and I know those. And at the end of the day, we're human beings, and we have emotions, and I saw him hurting, and I want to protect him.
Can you tell us what you told him?
I love you. And I'm with you, and we're all together, and you're not alone. And no matter what happens, no matter what was said or what you heard, that guy's an idiot and shouldn't have an impact on you.
So that was Tory Lavullo, and Marte was in the middle of the seventh inning at-bat when a fan yelled something derogatory about his mother, who passed away in a car accident in 2017 while walking back to Arizona's dugout after popping out to end the inning. Marte could be seen tearing up as he stared at the fan in question. That emotion carried over to the bottom half of the inning, prompting manager Tory Lavullo and shortstop Geraldo Perdomo to console Marte on the field during a pitching change. Just, what are we doing? What the hell are we doing?
This is not
He should be removed. Was that fan not removed? Like, what? Like, we have the power to do that in NBA all the time, right? I see it constantly. You point to that person, they're out. I see it whenever it's LeBron, KD, Russell Westbrook. Like, you're allowed to point at a fan, get the removed. He was removed from the game.
Joke.
It's a joke.
A lot of people are going to point to alcohol and
No.
I'm saying they're going to point to alcohol and, like, you know, people, and they're right. Like, people get way liquored up at these games. I don't drink. I don't drink at the games, and I'm not trying to say that I'm better than. I just know that it was poisonous to my brain because I was miserable every single day, and it did much more harm for me in my life. But I'm not going to, like, you know, get mad at people who want to enjoy themselves. But forget the alcohol for a second. Joe, I see people acting completely obnoxious and absurd at youth games that have no alcohol involved, where they're just losing their minds on, like, a third grade or fourth grade game or a fifth grade game. I'm guilty at times of getting frustrated over a call or whatever. Here's what I would always say, though. Just, like, there is a basic fundamental lack of respect for anyone who's not yourself these days. And I would even argue there's a lack of self-respect too, to a degree, with social media. And I think that we have groomed an entire society now of people who don't understand that your actions, your words, your comments have consequences. When I was growing up and we would play down the street, and if you talk smack, somebody could get you in a headlock. Somebody's older brother might come looking for you. Somebody's older sister might come looking for you. You know, something might happen. Nowadays, and I'm just saying, this is the generation we're in. We talk anonymously online, whether it's in the comment section or whether it's in video games, and we talk reckless, and we think that, oh, I'm never going to see that person because there's no consequences for my actions. And I see the way the younger kids talk to each other in person, and I go, oh, boy. Like, this is going to go to blows, the way you guys talk to each other. And I don't think that they realize how hurtful it is. Now, let's zoom out here and then let's drill down on the professionals. You can't talk about people's families, period.
Yeah.
Right? And I see this a lot in our medium. We are on the lowest rung of whatever the hell you call this. It's not fame, but just, like, being public, right? We're at the lowest rung of the ladder. And people act wild. If I post, and I only post on my Instagram and my Twitter, basically family and sports, that's what I post. And some people might argue I post too much family. That's fine. That's just what I put out there because a lot of my friends and family follow me.
It's your social. You can do what you want with it.
I've had people comment crazy stuff about my family, yeah. Right? And I block them or whatever. But I'm like, what is motivating an individual to go down that rabbit hole? Now we get to the guy in the game. You're saying stuff about this person's mom. Now, this guy's mom passed away, whatever, 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I just know for me, right? I lost my dad a year and a half ago. I'm still depressed and sad, and I think about him every day, right? And people probably get tired of me bringing it up. But you know what? He's one of my best friends in the world, and I miss him every single day. And so if somebody caught me off guard and brought him up, it will knock me in my chest.
Right?
I've had it happen where I'm in the middle of coaching a game or playing in a game, and someone say, hey, man, I heard about your pops. You know, I haven't had a chance to see you. Look, I'm really sorry. And it, like, whoa, like, stops me. And then I start thinking about him and I get sad or whatever. So I'll defend Marte here. Like, dude, like, that's a lot of pain. And unless you've gone through it, it's really difficult to understand how it affects you. I don't care if you don't know that person. That's someone you love. And it's just really hard to get past. And I don't think people in the modern day realize, now it's not everyone, it's a small select of people. We just have a lack of fundamental respect for anyone not in your little tiny circle, and it really bugs me.
Right. Just don't be a jerk. Again, I always go back to that. That was my freshman speech from our principal at the time, Brother Dunn. Shout out Palma High School in Salinas. Rest in peace, Brother Dunn. But that was the freshman speech every single year. Don't be a jerk. You're all getting here. Some of you are new. Some of you know people. The easiest thing to do is be a jerk. Just don't do that. All right? It's a really a quote for life right there. It's a quote to live by. And I try to be that guy and try not to be a jerk when I don't need to be. And that was a really easy example of what not to do. Perdomo, by the way, his teammate, added on, everybody knows Cattell has fun, plays the game hard, but I feel bad for him. I feel mad about it. I don't know who it was, but they've definitely got to do something. We cannot continue to do that crap here in the MLB. This is baseball. This is for the fans. They came here. They support us. But when they cross the line, we are not with that crap. He didn't use the word crap, by the way. He used something else. Just can't say it on air. So
I want to say the Red Sox-Giants game, and it's at Giants Stadium, so it's a little different, right? But Red Sox fans, they booed Devers, right? They had every right to. When he made an out, they booed him or whatever. But I thought it was pretty, you know, like tame in sense of like wasn't a lot of swearing. There wasn't like this anger at his family or anything like that. Again, I think there's a way of doing it and having fun. And like to me, again, there's also like, don't be relentless with it. It's like if you're the guy heckling all game, like all 9 innings of the game, just dog, give it a break. Just let it breathe a little.
We're going to let it breathe a little because we're up against it. And we're going to talk to Jim Leland on the other side. By the way, I hope none of you are heckling anyone at the Golden State Valkyries game tonight, unless it's a little cheerful jabs at New York Liberty. That's fine. But again, there's decorum for all this stuff, all right? There's what to do and what not to do. Just don't be a jerk is what all we're going to say.
Joe, the fear of getting punched in the face stopped me from doing a lot of stupid things growing up. And I just feel like we've kind of, I'm not saying that violence is always the answer. What I'm saying is that
we haven't been punched in the face enough as a society.
I'm saying that we have created a society where there isn't consequences for overstepping those lines. And I just think that whether it's online or playing video games or whatever, it's just we have this consequence-less society, and I think it's really harming us.
The keyboard warriors, if you will.
Yes,
exactly.
You
wouldn't have lasted in the Call of Duty voice rooms circa 2008. Shout out
Joe,
Modern
a good
Warfare.
Headlock will stop you from doing a lot of dumb stuff.
Oh, I know, Joe.
I have brothers?
I have six brothers.
You know.
I'm very well aware.
And I'm not advocating I'm not advocating violence. I want to make this clear. I just think a lot of people think they can say whatever they want, do whatever they want, without anyone popping them right in the nose.
Bro, I was the little brother that they were practicing WWF moves on. I was getting power bombed by the age that? I was five or six.
Did you see that video I posted the other day?
So good.
It was Mick Foley getting power bombed he was on top of two ladders going through two tables, and it was like little brother versus the big brother. Get up, you're fine. Don't tell mom.
Don't tell mom.
I know I just broke your ribs.
I know. You're like crying. It's okay. Just don't
tell
mom.
Your lung's not that punctured.
Valkyries take on the Liberty. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX Channel 5. Pre-game starts at 6:30. What's coming up next is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Jim Leland, the Hall of Fame manager, right here on The Morning Roast.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesus. He's 6 foot 8. He's like 10 feet tall. The Warriors might draft him tonight. It's dangerous to do that. I'm not alone, by the way. In our little cluster here, and yeah, Jim Leland, Hall of Fame manager, going to join us momentarily. Stephen Langford, KCBS, right across the way. He doesn't scrub his underneath his beard.
That's who I look at for perfect hygiene, but continue.
Marcy, morning host over at Live 105. Also, she said it's dangerous. She's not doing that. How about that? Marcy, you think she's very hygienic. We see her every single day. Lovely presence. She joins Steiny and Goo every Friday as well. How about that? So I'm getting the infinity gauntlet of people on my side here, the infinity stones. How about that? By the way, the song is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com, Joseph. What are you excited to talk to Jim Leland about, huh?
Everything. I mean, you know, he's dealt with a lot of different contentious personalities in his entire career. And I wonder how he would have handled the Dever situation. As if he was the Boston Red Sox, and maybe he was part of that entire brain trust. And if Devers had said to him, hey, I'm not playing first base.
Well, I also want to ask him about being that manager to lead Miami and then Florida to a championship. And that was their first ever one in the history of their franchise. And what that meant then, and just looking at the state of Florida baseball right now, and how that makes him feel, because let's be honest, the fans aren't showing up there, and I wonder why. But in the meantime, Jim Leland joining us currently right here on the Morning Roast, Hall of Fame manager, World Series champion, one of the best to ever do it, has managed some of the greatest players in the history of the sport. As I say, good morning to you, Jim. Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky here. And we were just talking about, you know, that first World Series, and you bringing that all the way back in 1997, obviously, doing it at the expense of the San Francisco Giants that year. You've obviously had some ties, both positive and negative, going up against the Giants all the way back to 2012 as well, obviously, as I say good morning to you. But what was that like back in 1997, Jim, getting that first title and what it meant for that city?
Well, you know, it was kind of unique, really, because we didn't really draw that well during the regular season, but then at the postseason, then we were packing. We had 67,000 for the World Series. And sometimes, like I said, it was kind of weird because sometimes the fans actually were, half the fans were for the other team, because there was a lot of people came from, you know, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Chicago, you know, New York that were down there. So when like the Yankees or the Mets or the Phillies, whatever came in, a lot of times, you know, half the crowd was for the other team. So it was kind of a unique situation, but you know, they sure picked up on it when we got to the postseason and then went on, of course, to win the World Series.
Yeah, you know, it's you went through my Giants that year, and it just, Renteria base hit up the middle, and you guys were just a heck of a team. We ended up getting Rob Nen out of that whole kind of fire sale, if you will, with Florida. But you had some rough ones, because growing up, your Pirates teams, I was always a Bonds fan. You know, he grew up in these parts, and you know, I always think about the play with Sid Bream, which I'm sure everyone does. Which one of those, of the three losses there, I mean, 90, 91, 92, is it the Sid Bream one that still sticks out?
I guess it does to everybody else. Not so much to me. I thought actually the year before was our best chance. We went home 3-2 up, and we ended up getting beat when Smoltz and Avery just pitched the games of their lives. So that one actually hurt a little bit more than the other one in 92. You know, even though we had that lead, and, you know, we kicked the double play ball, which happens. Chico Lynn was one of the best second basemen in all of baseball. And, you know, he never made an error. He just happened to make one at the wrong time. And, you know, it was just unfortunate. But, hey, that's the game. That's baseball, and that's why it's a great game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how it's baseball. You know, I see the video circulating all the time. You and Barry going at it in the spring training. It's an all-time video. And, you know, it just got me to thinking, like, you know, Barry was way ahead of his time. There's a lot of, I guess, players that around sports who take their cue from Barry in terms of how, you know, they want to be treated nowadays. How would you have handled the current situation that the Red Sox had with Rafael Devers and his refusal to play first base?
Well, I think that's something that you do, obviously, you know, behind closed doors before it ever hits the media. And you see, you know, you get the pulse of everything that's going on. You know, I'm not going to speak for other teams, how they handle their business. I don't know much about that situation other than what you read. So, you know, you sit down and communication is an important thing, and you find out, you get a pretty good feel for you know, how it's going to be accepted or rejected. So, you know, it didn't work out too good in Boston, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. I think that it was inevitable that something was going to happen eventually, and it did.
Do you ever have a guy do that to you?
No, not really. Never really had anybody that said they didn't want to play here or didn't want to play there. Most of the guys that I had just wanted to play, and I'm sure Devers does too, don't get me wrong. This guy's a great player. I think the world of him. And but it's just it was just an unfortunate situation. And, you know, once they knew that they were going to get Bregman, that was, you know, it was going to present some type of a conversation that needed to be had.
Talk with Jim Leland here on the Morning Roast, Hall of Fame manager, World Series champion, as the Giants are taking on the Miami Marlins, formerly Florida Marlins. I always get those mixed up. Still, I do. I just like those old uniforms. I do. They should go back to them. Jim, I do want to talk to you about the guy that pitched last night. A guy you know very well, Justin Verlander. Like, 20 years ago, it's kind of crazy. 20 years ago, he was a Detroit Tiger making his big league debut back in 05, right? And then fast forward 20 years later, he's still pitching. He just had a second kid a couple days ago, too. Congratulations to them and Kate. But are you shocked to see this guy still doing it? He's still searching for a win this year. We would like to get him a win, Jim. But 9-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champion, obviously 3-time Cy Young winner. Like, why is he still doing this? What's motivating this guy at this age to continue to go out and try to pitch?
Well, he just loves the game, and he loves to compete. He's been a horse for a lot of years, and he's just into the game so much that he's just not ready to walk away from it. And, you know, like you say, he likes to compete. He's one of the best to ever do it. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, so certainly I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think we're all pulling for him right now. Were you surprised Buster Posey got the took over as president of baseball ops? I mean, it was like a decade ago you guys were facing off in the World Series.
Well, I was fortunate enough to manage Buster in the World Baseball Classic in 2017. I had him and Crawford on the team, and it didn't surprise me at all. This guy was really sharp. Came into the clubhouse, first class all the way, class act, very well-spoken, very intelligent. Obviously a great player, world champion several times. No, it didn't surprise me at all. I think this guy's going to be fantastic at that job.
I consider you like old school baseball. Because like when I was growing up, I mean, you in the dugout with the Pirates and just a baseball lifer, you know, in terms of your longevity and dedication to the game. I don't think we have enough Buster Posey types running teams around baseball. Do you agree with me?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, each organization looks at it a little bit different. Right now, I know the Tigers are blessed. We have Scott Harris, who I think was a former Giant.
Yes, he was.
Really a brilliant young man. He's done a great job. You know, just really smart. He's a little bit of the new and the old. I think he's a combination of both. I think Buster probably is, too, at heart. I think Buster's, you know, certainly willing to adjust to some of the newer stuff, but he's also an old-school guy. I think he's a perfect fit for that job.
Talk with Jim Leland here on the Morning Roast, brought to you by the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And also, on July 6th, Jim is being inducted into the Marlins Legends Hall of Fame as part of the inaugural class.
Wow.
Congratulations, wow. Jim, right here. That's freaking amazing. Him, Luis Castillo, Jack McKean, Jeff Conine, like, that's freaking awesome. I want to ask you just point blank, who do you think the best player is that you ever managed? I'm just going to ask. I'm putting you on
Miggy,
the spot.
Miggy, Verlander.
There's so many. But no. Yes, pick one. The best player you ever managed, Jim, is who?
Barry Bonds. Without question.
Wow. Why?
Barry Bonds and then Miguel Cabrera.
Barry is just easily Barry. Was he the greatest hitter you've ever seen?
Yes.
Wow. And you've
He's
seen
the best
yeah.
player I've ever seen.
I mean, you go like you've probably seen way better. You saw like Willie Mays and stuff, though, did you not?
Well, I didn't really see Willie till right at the end, but you know, Barry's the best player I've ever seen.
So, you know, I'm looking at the Marlin organization, and you were there for a short period of time, and obviously, the way they dismantled that team is, I mean, it's the stuff of legends. If you could go back in time, you think, what would you have done different to be able to convince ownership not to tear that thing down? Because it is one of the greatest teams. You look at it top to bottom. I mean, you guys were unbelievable in 97.
Yeah, we were really good, and we would have been good for a long time because Dave Dombrowski had guys signed a really good contract for quite a while.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.